We are doing Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. We're in the middle of the 33rd chapter, page Kuftet Vav in the Eshkol edition, about 7 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion Omer, and in the Zichron Aharon editions, it's page Resh Pei Dalid. So Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion Omer, Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion says, you should know the power of tzedakah. We had discussed that tzedakah is so powerful it could do tchiyat ametim. And now Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion says, come, I'll show you the power of tzedakah. Come and see the power of tzedakah from Shaul, our first king, Shaul the son of Kish. He removed all those forms of sorcery, resurrecting the dead, that the Torah prohibits, called Oven Yideoni. And then he turned around and he loved that which he had previously hated. Initially in his kingdom, he hated these forms of sorcery. And then when he was in dire need, he turned around. The halach el ein do, and he went to the place called Ein Do, el isha Tzifanya imo shel Avner, to a woman who knew how to do ov, and her name, it seems, was Tzifanya. She was the mother of Avner ben Ner. So Shaul finds out where can he find this a woman who could do this sorcery. Ush'ala ba'ov, and he asked her to bring up the dead. V'hilta lo Shmuel, so she brought back the prophet Samuel from the dead. V'alu imo achirim, and others came with him. Our sages say that when Shmuel was called up from the dead, Shmuel got nervous. He said, what am I being called for? Am I being called to be judged again? So he went to other great leaders of the Jewish people and said, come with me. Don't let me go alone. He thought he was being judged again. So he said, I don't want to stand up to trial alone. Come with me. So that's why she saw other people coming up with Shmuel. They thought, must be the time has come for resurrecting the dead if Shmuel is being called back to the living. And the woman saw, she thought she was just going to bring up Shmuel. Suddenly she sees Shmuel and many other dead people coming up with him. And she got very scared. As the verse says, the king told her, do not fear. That indicates she was scared. Others say that there were many other tzaddikim like him that came up with him at that time. Yes, sir. Hundred percent, yes. I think there are dax is what you said. Yes.
Usually when people say Shaul was really Sadiq, where do you see that in the
speaking?
Is there any
specific Ben Shana Shaul bimolcho? Shaul was 1 year old when he became king. What does it mean he was 1 year old when he became king? Just like a 1 year old has no sin, so too Shaul had no sin. After the kingship, he was also a tzaddik. Let's see what the Midrash tells us. And let's see. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol ha-metim omedim b'tchiyat ha-metim ve'olim b'lvusheim. Rabbi Eliezer says, all the dead stand at the time of the tchiyat ha-metim, when the dead are going to return, they'll stand and they come back in their clothing. Mimi ata lamed mizera haaretz. I'll prove it to you from the seeds of the ground. Kal v'chomer mechita, a fortiori derived from the kernel of wheat. Machita shenikbera aruma yotzet bechama levushim. If you take a kernel of wheat, you plant it naked, and it comes out with a stalk and all kind of, look at wheat, the way it grows, it's got all these different forms of covering. You have to, when you want to get the kernel, it's got many coverings. You have to break off the stalk, you have to thresh it, you have to winnow it, you got to get all the different covers off. Tzadikim shnikberu b'dvushehen, the righteous who are buried with their clothes, alachat kama b'chama, certainly that they'll, when they'll sprout up, they're going to sprout with all these different coverings. So Yosef is sitting there bewildered. Was I supposed to understand that? No, I don't understand it either. Ve'lo od ela mimiyat alamed, Chazal are obviously talking about some secret understanding of what's going on. We read this and it's Greek to us. Sounds very entertaining. You're Greek. What can we do? Okay. Chazal say, if when you plant a seed, you plant the kernel without all the externals, right? After you've threshed, a kernel has chaff, a kernel has the stem. You remove everything but the seed, and then you plant it, and when it comes out, it's got everything all over again. So it gets, so to speak, dressed all over again. So the righteous that are buried with their clothing, certainly when they'll come up, they'll have all their clothing. Yeah? What? They're buried with their clothing, so certainly they'll come up with their clothing. If the one that's buried naked comes up fully clothed, certainly he who comes out clothed will come out fully clothed. So Yosef, if I could ameliorate the fact that you are so perturbed, let me perhaps just open a crack into maybe what Chazal were alluding to. Chita, according to one understanding, was the Eitz Hadas, right? Yes, the Gemara brings that opinion. Okay, so the Gemara brings that opinion. That it was Chita, it was definitely not an apple. In Tanakh, the word tapuach means etrog. So maybe that's how people got confused and thought that it's like etrog. Yeah. Okay. So do I need to say more? Should we take another step? Okay. Chita is wheat. Chazal proved it from the wheat. Now, we're talking about being naked. Before Adam and Chava ate from the wheat, they didn't mind being naked. Do I need to go further? I said I'll crack. I didn't say I'm going to go all the way. I don't know all the way. Okay, so think about it. When Chazal give us things like this, you have to stop and say, wait a second, what are they talking about? On the surface, it sounds fantastic, but not logical. So you have to look beyond that. Wait a second. What does it mean that the kernel of wheat gets planted naked? And what does it mean it gets clothed? Its natural state is with the clothes. Its natural state is naked. The natural state of man is with clothes, or the natural state is naked. In Tchiyat HaMetim, they'll be like Adam before the Chet or after the Chet. Why will they need clothing? So there's a lot to discuss. So start thinking about all the questions that should bother you. And after you start thinking about all the questions that will bother you, maybe you'll start seeing answers to all the questions that bother you. But the first step is to recognize that we don't understand what we're reading. After you know you don't know, you could begin to know. But if you think you know and you don't know, then you'll never know. Right?
You know.
You know, right? Okay. Wait for a Thursday night question and answer session. Later. Let's continue. The Lord. And by the way, on this disc, which you own now, the first thing I think is understanding Midrashim. Is on Midrashim, yeah. Okay, let's continue. What? Because you set your browser to go in alphabetical order, so it'll say Adam's defense claims, yes. Okay. Not only that, I'll prove to you from Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. They went down into that furnace fully clothed. And they came out in their clothing. Shenemaz, the verse says, even the hair on their head didn't get burnt and didn't get scorched. You know that hair burns like that. And furthermore, from who can you learn? Mishmuel Anavi, from Shmuel the prophet, that when he was brought up from the dead, how did he come up? The verse says, Shalau Temil, he came up wrapped in his coat. Shenemaz, the verse says, the woman says to Shaul, Vatomer, she said, Ish zaken ole, an old man is coming up, vehu ote me'il, and he is wrapped in a coat. Rabbi Natan omer, kol hanevi'im nitnabu b'chayehim. All the prophets prophesied through their lives. Ushmuel nitnaba b'chayav v'achar moto. Shmuel, he prophesied not only in his lifetime, but also post-mortem, also after his death. Sha'amar Shmuel l'Shaul, that Shmuel said to Shaul, Im ata shumeh la'atzati li'pol b'cherev, if you listen to my advice to go fight the war and you'll get killed by sword at the war, then your death will be an atonement for you. And your lot will be with me in the place that I am, that I am settled. And Shaul listened to Shmuel's advice. Venafal b'cherem, and he fell at the hands of the sword. Hu v'chol beito, he and his whole house. It's not exactly his whole house, but his men and much of his family, most of his family. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'yamot shuru shloshet manav v'gomer. Either attend our Shmuel class, or look it up online. But right now we can't go into that. But if you want to believe a ger amaleki, who says that he himself caused the death, so I don't know. Shenemar, as the verse says, Vayamot Shaul u'shloshet banav v'gomer, Shaul died and his three children, etc. Lama sheheichel koim Shmuel anavi le'atid lavo. Why was he willing to do that? To go to war when the prophet told him you're going to die? Because he wanted to be in the portion of Shmuel in the world to come. Shenemar, as the verse says, Shmuel promised him, Umacharen tomorrow, atau vanecha imi, you and your children are with me. My imi, what does it mean you're with me? Amar Rabbi Yochanan imi bimchitzati. Rabbi Yochanan says it means with me in my partition in the world to come. Hillel azaken omer, Hillel the elder says, Amar lo Shmuel leShaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Lo daicha shelo shamata vekolo. It's not enough that you didn't listen to God's voice, you didn't do what God's anger commanded you to do against Amalek, but you even came to the point where you're doing what the Torah prohibits, you're asking me through the resurrection of the dead, through this form of sorcery. Woe to the shepherd, woe to his sheep. Because of you, God is giving the Jews into the hands of the Philistines. Wow. Imagine. Shaul is so weak. He's been fasting all day. He tries getting an answer from God by asking any prophet any way he could. He doesn't get an answer. He's at the end of the rope, so he goes and brings Shmuel up from the dead. And what does Shmuel tell him? Oh boy, I feel bad for the Jewish people that you're their leader. It's all your fault that they're in this situation. Rabbi Yochanan omer, Alu Yisrael levavel velo enichu et maaseh marayim. Rabbi Yochanan tells us a fascinating story. He says the Jews went to Babylon, and here we should be bothered by the word Alu levavel. They went up to Babylon. Usually when we speak about Chutzarts, we say Galu or Yardu. We say Aliyah to Eretz Israel. We never say Aliyah to anywhere else. So the Jews went to Babylon, so we're bothered. We're bothered. Good. We don't have to answer every question. You are deeply bothered, so I will try to deeply resolve your bothersomeness. There is another version here that says Galu. There is such a girsa. There are versions in which it says Galu and not Alu. So we don't know if they're right. I just wanted to ameliorate the fact that you were deeply bothered. Now you're only slightly bothered. Maybe there's another version. What? Okay, so I could tell you what you want. I'll tell you. There is a Midrash Tanchuma that says that Bavel is an exceptional place, that Bavel has exceptional yeshivot, and Bavel is a place that Hashem gave us as a source of light to the time of Mashiach. And it could be, I'm hypothesizing, you know, if you hypothesize about a version which might be wrong, so you're hypothesizing about nonsense. So I don't know if what I'm saying is complete nonsense or partial nonsense or not nonsense at all. But it's one of those three, right? So maybe we could use the word aliyah to go up to a place that is filled with Torah. Just like you're supposed to go up to a shul, right? Shul is supposed to be on the highest place in the city. You're always supposed to go up to it. So with reference to the Torah, maybe that's why we would call it alu. But right. Okay. So the truth is that whatever we're going to say, it's problematic, because physically, Babel was considered the lowest point of the general Middle East. Chazal, when they spoke about this area, when they spoke about a low place, they spoke about Babel. And leaving Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Arts is always called going down, Yerida. What? Right. 100%. So it's much easier to say that we'll go with the other version, Galu. And if we discover in the end that this is the correct version, was Alu, so hopefully we'll also discover a rabbi who could explain it to us. So we'll go the easy route. Rabbi Yochanan says, they went to Babel velo inichu et maasehim ha'raim, and they didn't leave behind their bad deeds. There were two wicked people named Achav ben Kolaya v'tzidkiya ben Maaseya. Na'asu rofei sheker. They became charlatans, and they started being false doctors. Vayu merapin et neshei kasdim, and they'd go around saying that they were gynecologists, curing, I don't know if gynecologists, but they'd come with their false medicines, and they'd be alone with the women, the kasdi women, uvayim alem tashmish amita, and then they'd sleep with them. Shama melech. So the king heard that you have these two doctors going around town, and when they're alone with the women, they're committing adultery with these women. So the Babylonian king hears this. Nebuchadnezzar hears about these two Jewish doctors that are committing adultery. So he has them taken into captivity, and he says, I'm going to burn you at the stake. He's going to burn them alive, throw them into a furnace. So these two charlatans, these two wicked people, they said, Yoshua ben Yotzadak ish tzadiku. There's the pious person, Yoshua ben Yotzadak. He's a righteous person. Yavo imanu, we should get the king to put him with us. Uvizchuto, and in his merits, anu nitzolin, will be saved. So you see how people work? Let's all be thrown into the furnace together. And we're believers. We don't mean for him to die with us. He'll save both of us. Amrulo, so what did they do? They said, Adonenu amelech, our master the king, ha'ish hazeh haya imanu b'chol davar. You should just know, we were a threesome in everything we did. Yoshua ben Yotzadak was in on it all. We were partners. All three of us were doing it all together. Tziva melech yisof shloshnan me'esh. So the king figures, why would they say such thing if it wasn't true? So the king says, burn all three. Throw all three into the furnace. V'yarad ha'malach Michael v'yitzil et Yoshua misrifat ha'esh. So the angel Michael came down and saved Yoshua. Yoshua, who ultimately was the Kohen Gadol. This Yoshua was a big tzaddik. The Navi speaks about him. We read it in the Haftarah of Zechariah. We read it on Chanukah. So the angel Michael came down and saved Yoshua from the burning fire. Ve'elau lifnei kisei kavod, and brought him up before the heavenly throne. Sheneemar, as the verse says in Zechariah, Vayareini yet Yoshua haKohen haGadol. He showed me Yoshua, the high priest. And I saw that his clothing were scorched. Ushnehem, and these two wicked people, and Nisrafu Be'esh, they were burned alive. Sheneemar, as the verse says about these two, Velukach mehem klala asher kala. He was. All three were thrown into the fire. Yoshua came out alive. They burnt to death. Asher srafam en ktiv kan, ela asher kalam. Yeah? I don't remember. Chazal discussed, the Chazal compared them with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And Chazal do speak about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Avraham Avinu. But from Avraham Avinu to Yoshua and them, that I don't remember. אשר שפם אין כתיב כאן, אלא אשר קלם, הלמדנו שנתחרחו שערותם ועוונותיהם. So, Yoshua ben Yotzadak, so to speak, they were the roasted marshmallows, they were toasted, and he was roasted. They were burnt, they were roasted, and he was toasted. And he came out, and his hairs are singed, he's scorched. שנאמר, as the verse says, הלא זה עוד מוצל מאש. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, כשהבינו נבוכדנצר עלילות דברים על ישראל להורגם. The Gemara brings a continued conversation that Nebuchadnezzar brings him in and says, how come Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they walked out of the furnace alive and they didn't even smell of burnt. They were, nothing was scorched and you were scorched. So he said to him, what do you mean? I was one, they were three. I was with two wicked people, there were three pious people. How can you compare their merits and mine? Chazal say that was just a bluff. The real reason why he came out scorched was because his children had married non-Jewish women, and that sin had scorched him. Okay, so excellent question. When we learn that, we'll discuss the Zat Hashem. No, it's a good question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you could even just open up the Navi, Zechariah, and look at Rashi over there, and if you're not satiated, we could discuss it. You got to do a little bit of work. I can't do all the work. Yeshua. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, כשהבין נבוכדנצר עלילות דברים על ישראל להורגם, when Nebuchadnezzar came with claims wanting to murder all of the Jews, העמיד צלם בבקעת דורה. He erected a tremendous idol in the valley of Dura, והוציא חרוז ואמר, and he's sent out a decree saying, "Kol mi shelo yishtachave latzelem hazeh, whoever does not bow to this idol, yisaref ba'esh, will be burnt in fire." V'Yisrael lo batzchu b'tzel yotzam, and the Jews did not have confidence in being in the shadow of the one who fashioned them. They didn't have confidence in God. Uvau hem unshem uvnehem, so they came with their wives and children, v'yishtachavu latzelem, and they bowed to this idol. Chutz midaniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. Except for Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Notice over here, the Medrash tells us Daniel did not bow. In the book of Daniel, it recounts that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah didn't bow. It doesn't tell us what happened with Daniel. Some of the commentaries say that Daniel was such a high noble, such an aristocrat, that Nebuchadnezzar didn't even dare ask him to bow. There, if I remember correctly, there is such an understanding. But the Medrash tells us that these four did not. Shayu korim b'shem Elohim, and why didn't they bow? Because they called in the name of their God. They called in the name of Hashem. V'haya gnai lahem l'sofo ba'esh, and there was a shame for the Babylonian Empire to take their greatest advisor, the king's top man, and burn him at the stake. So Daniel was left out. I guess this is what I remembered, that they didn't throw the book at Daniel because Daniel was the top advisor. Shenemar, as the verse says, ve'ad achorein ad kadomei Daniel. So what did they do? V'natlu l'Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. They grabbed the next top three advisors, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, v'natlu tan b'toch kibshan esh, and they placed them in the burning furnace. And the angel Gabriel came down and saved them from the burning furnace. Amar lehem ha-melech, the king said to the Jewish people, "Heyitem yodim, you knew sheyesh lachem Eloha, that you have a God, mishezev u'matzil, who could rescue you, he could save you. Lama inachtem Elohechem, yishtachavetem latzelem she'en b'chorach latzil. Why'd you leave your God and bow to this idol that doesn't have power to save? But rather, it must be that just like you did in your land and you destroyed it by going pagan ways, that's what you want to do in my land and destroy it by going pagan ways over here. Look at the chutzpah. He tells them, bow to the idol or I'll kill you. And then he comes back and tells them, oh, what you doing bowing to my idol? You knew you had a God. Sounds like the UN, right? Whatever you do, they have claims against you. V'tziva ha-melech v'nehargu kulam. So the king ordered and they killed out all the Jews that were there at the time. U'minayin shayu kulam harugei chareb. And how do we know they were all killed by sword? They didn't die a natural death. Shneimar, the verse says, v'yomer elai, the angel said to the prophet Ezekiel, hinavei v'nadam, prophesize, O son of man, etc. Ba'arugim ha'ele, about these murdered people, v'yichyu, and they'll come back to life. So we see that when Yechezkel prophesizes about the bones, he's prophesizing about bones of people who were murdered. It doesn't say these people who died, it says these people who were harugim, they were murdered. These are all those Jews who bowed down to that idol. Rabbi Pinchas says, La'achar 20 shana shenergu kulam bevavel, 20 years after all these Jews were killed in Babylon, shachta ruach hakodesh ha'yechezkel. Then, 20 years later, God's Spirit landed on Ezekiel, v'hotziyo levikat Dura, and God took him out to that valley of Dura, v'erau atzamot yeveshot arbe meod, and God showed him this mass grave. He sees piles of dried out bones. Amar lo, so God says to Yechezkel, ben adam ma ata roeh, son of man, what do you see? Amar lo, so Yechezkel says, ani roeh kan atzamot yeveshot, I see here dry bones. Amar lo, so he said to him, yesh bikoach lachayot otan, I have power to give them life. Vayalo lomar, and Yechezkel should have said, ribono shel olam, master of the world, yesh b'chakoach lasot yoter meilu, you could do even more than that, you could bring all the dead back to life. This is nothing. Ela amar, but rather Yechezkel erred. And when God asked him, do I have the power to give life to these dried bones, they seem like they're all dried out, what does Yechezkel say? Hashem Elokim atay adata, God the Omnipotent, you know. Ke'ilu lo emin, he spoke as though he doesn't believe. Lefichach lo nikburu atzmotav beretz Torah, and as a punishment for that answer, Yechezkel was buried in Chutz La'aretz. It seems that till not very long ago, everyone knew where Yechezkel was buried, in Iraq. Okay. It's a very good point. So, in the Mordechai is a Rishon, a commentary that's printed in the back of the Gemara, in the Halachos of Tefillin. So, when he discusses the Machlokas of Tefillin of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, he says, they sent me a letter from Israel, and they say over there that they found by the grave of Yechezkel Tefillin written like Rashi. Yeah? So they say that what the Mordechai means is not that Yechezkel's grave is in Israel. Yechezkel's grave is in Chutz La'aretz. But the people who sent this point, who sent this question, hey, we found by Yechezkel's grave, we found Tefillin written like Rashi, these people lived in Israel and sent the question from Israel. Whether Yechezkel's grave is here in Israel or there, it's a good question. What? You could understand it both ways. Either they themselves sent the question from Israel, but they, where did they find these tefillin when they were visiting Yechezkel's grave? Out in Babylon. They took an egged tour out to Iraq.
Yeah, you have to prove that.
Okay.
You know,
right. It's not so clear that he was buried in Chutz La'aretz, but that's what this Medrash says. Okay. Shenemar, as the verse says in Amos, and you will be buried on defiled land. Amar lo, so God says to Yechezkel, hinave al atzamot eile, prophesize about these bones. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, man vua mevia alehem. So Yechezkel says, God, what is the prophecy going to give them? And God tells him, basar v'gidim v'atzamot. So Yechezkel asks, will it give them flesh and sinews and bones, or kol basar ve'etzem she'achlu mehem be'ima v'chaya v'of u'metu be'eretz acheret, or will it bring back all the flesh and bones that different animals and wild animals and birds came and ate and then went on to other lands and died there with their bones and their body parts? What's going to be with all these, the other parts of the bones? You know, animals came and took these bones all over. Miyad, right away, Hishmei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kolo V'ra Sha'aretz. God made his sound heard and the earth trembled. Shenemaz, the verse says, Vayikol ki navi v'nerash. There was a noise as I prophesied. There was a great rumble. Vayita artzayim mekarevet etzem en atzmo. And God made it that one bone started coming next to the other. You know, today you guys see it in the movies all the time, right? Bones start... You guys know what I'm saying. Skeleton forms together, right? So, where'd they get this idea from? Yechezkel's prophecy. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha Omer, Rabbi Yeshua, the son of the bold one, says, Yarad aleim tchiyat tal... What? Yarad aleim tchiyat tal min hashamayim. God made the dew that gives life fall upon them from heaven. Shu novel motzim mayim. That this dew is special dew that has its own wellsprings and brings out its own water. So this is a concept that the Midrashim talk about, that the dew, when God sprinkles the earth with dew, the dew draws out the waters from below. Kach ayu novim volim aleihem basar v'atzamot v'gidim. So too this dew caused that the bones, so to speak, developed their own flesh and bones and sinews. Shenemar, as the verse says, V'reit v'ine aleihem gidim, I saw, and they had sinews. Amar lo inaveh el haruach. And then after these bodies have been recomposed, God says to him, prophesize about the wind, about the spirit. Bota sha'a, at that hour, yatzu arba ruchot ha-shamayim, the four winds from the four directions started coming out. Ufatchu otzrot anshamot, and they opened the storage houses of souls. Ve'chzir kol ruach v'ruach laguf b'sarish, and every spirit was returned to the physical man, to the flesh of man. Shneimar, the verse says, v'inabeti kasher tzivani, and I prophesied as God commanded me. K'tiv ha'chayil gadol me'od, says over here there was a great army of people. Uchtiv uvnei Yisrael paru v'yishutzu v'erbu v'yatzmu b'mod me'od. Just like when it says me'od about the Jewish people in Egypt, it means there were 600,000. So too, when it says that there was a great mass of people that Yechezkel saw, it means there were 600,000 people that were executed. That's some mass grave that Nebuchadnezzar erected there in this valley of Dura. And all of them, all these 600,000 bodies, stood on their feet, came back to life, except for one man. Amar Hanavi, so the prophet said, Ribono shel olam, mati bo shel ze? What did that guy do? 600,000 people have enough merits to make it back to life 20 years after they were executed. What about that guy? Why is he still dead? Amar lo, God said to him, Baneshech Natan. That's a man who took interest. Bota sha'a, hayu Yisrael bochim v'omrim. At that hour, the Jews were weeping and saying, "Hayinu mekavim la'amod im kol Yisrael b'tchiyat ha-metim." We were hoping to come back when it comes time for the Jews to come back from the dead. Achshav avda tikvateinu. Now it's been lost. We were brought back too early, so they're brought back to life. 600,000 people come back to life, and they say, "Wait a second! This world is the way we left it. This isn't the world we were hoping to come back to. What about the future? Are we going to come back again? It seems like we've lost that." Bota sha'amar kadosh baruch hu lanavi. At that, what? Oh! At that time, God tells to the prophet, lechem olem, go tell them, chay ani, I swear, says God, shan amid etchem b'tchiyat ha-metim latid lavo. You're still coming back a third time. When everyone else comes back, you're coming back too. When God will gather all the Jews back to the land of Israel, the verse says, behold, I will open your graves. So what did we see here? We saw that tzedakah is so powerful, it brings back the dead. And then we went on to discuss how Shaul brought back the dead. And what did Shmuel tell him? So Shmuel prophesied in his death. One understanding is he told him, tomorrow you're going to be with me. Another understanding says, what'd you do? Shmuel said to him, woe to the people that you're their leader. Because of you, the people are going to lose the war tomorrow. They're going to be given into the hands of the Philistines. And then we went on to the story about how people came, so to speak, back from the dead. They weren't killed in the fire. That Yoshua ben Yotzadak was thrown into the fire with his two adulterous charlatans, these two false doctors. We went on to discuss how Nebuchadnezzar erected the Tzelem and then killed all the Jews who bowed to the Tzelem, only after he saw that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah without Daniel, came out of the furnace alive. Daniel wasn't even thrown in. And then we went on to discuss these people who were killed by Nebuchadnezzar, 600,000 people, at some genocide. All of them were brought back to life 20 years later by Yechezkel. All of them were brought back to life except for the one who gave loans with interest. And the people who came back to life were promised that even though they had experienced Tchias HaMesim once, they are still going to experience it the second time. They will come back to this world a third time after they die a second time.